The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is the August 2 already, 2016. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the free ebook, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. You know, as I always say, it's very basic. What do you need? 10 paragraphs, commit, take action. I can't say that enough. I don't know how many other things to say to people. I guess I could put together a $10,000 packet. Maybe I could sell it that way. I don't know. But the main thing is you got to commit to what you love to do, and you got to really take action. By action, I mean we got somebody new on here today. I'm not going to give his name away yet. We were talking about it a little bit before we came on, and to get things done that you want big, man, you got to really push. You got to be a guy or gal that's a pusher and a loader, and you're not going to take no for an answer. It's very exciting stuff, and I'm sure Jim and I are going to get into this too. Also, too, the top 10 ways, we already said that. Strength times power equals success, and the winner's circle, those are my two biggest products to date. They are all going to be remarketed now under the Motivation and Muscle banner. There's a lot of things going on, as everybody knows. If you don't, we're streaming now 24/7. I'm very proud of that. It took me a long time to do that. And this show, in my opinion, we will have millions a lot quicker. And I thought, we're out on Google Play Music. We're also out on TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha, which is for your car. Most of the new cars all have podcast capability, and Alpine makes an aftermarket, I believe. Go out and check that out. Great stuff. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out there, and you can see the best of the best. You know, Brandi Holloman was on today, Roger LaPointe, David Whitley, Ken Nowicki, Rick Walker, Dr. Wong, Steve Cotter, Clint Darden, Scott Shetler, Dr. Jeffrey Smith, Bill Hinburn, John Bruni. I'm going to miss tons of them. We had, for the first time, Steve Slater on a week ago, Janelle Pica. They're coming out of the woodwork. We got our buddy Will Dinwiddie on from Oregon tomorrow, Epic Fitness. One of my favorites, Adam T. Glass, man, he is just funnier than shit. And on and on and on. And I don't mean to slight anyone. You're all great. Our buddy Clint Darden, man, from Cyprus, unbelievable guy, helped me out with so many things, and Clint's got a lot of health problems, man, and he is just blistering strong, man. Again, I can't tell you the admiration I have for that gentleman. It's unbelievable. As I was telling Jim, I'm very fortunate. I thank every day everyone and everything we're doing. So if you go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and check out all these podcasts. There is a wealth of knowledge. We don't charge anything for it. I mean, there is nobody that's putting out stuff like we are, and we're just going to get better, better, and better, and that's the thing. Well, today is a big day here because, as everyone knows, if you listen to my shows and we have new people on here, this is the reason why I do it. This is what it's all about because we don't know. We hope this gentleman will be coming back for the next 30 years. That's how I approach everything with everybody, and we never know. We have Jim Romig on here today, and we've had to go back and forth a few times. We had a couple cancellations, this and that, but he's here, and I couldn't be happier. And I want to give you a little bit about this gentleman. He was a co-founder and co-owner of Wolf Fitness. Right now, his program, what he has developed, is called Internal Roots Movement. And I have to pull up the other thing. He's also a mixed martial arts athlete and a grappling coach. Jim, it's been a while, and I wish we could have got you on a few more months ago, but welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, it's great to be here. I am fired up as all hell just from your introduction, talking about all those wonderful people you've had on, man. It's an honor.
Hey, well, it's my honor to have you on, and believe me when I say that because, you know, it's a two-way street here with everybody. And I only want to have the people that really want to be here, the people that want to develop a long-term relationship. And obviously, through the show and through the folks knowing people, whether they come on board here or we can send business your way, you know, that's what it's all about. It's solving problems, helping each other out. It's not a real hard formula, but loyalty and respect are two things that I value very highly. I know it's not real cool now with a lot of people, but it will always be that way. And I'm glad to have you on here. Give anybody, I know I missed stuff, I'm sure, with your bio, website, anything you got coming up, and we'll start in today. This is what I do with everybody on the show. We call it introduction. If you listen to shows, and I know lots of you do, this is a great way to get to meet Jim, and we're going to hope we can get Jim on here as much as he can do it. This way we have our foundation with the family, and when we bring Jim in the next time, away we go. So, Jim, take it away, sir.
I don't know. I don't even know where to start, my brother. I don't even know where to start.
Give out anything you want. You're free to do that. And websites, I want you to promote yourself.
Oh man, I've been so lazy on the regard of websites. I have a page on Facebook of Internal Roots Movement, and then Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I also just have Jim Romig, and I pretty much share all the same stuff, just trying to film videos on a regular basis and get knowledge and passion out there for movement and sound movement and playing with unconventional tools and getting people to explore movement, their bodies. And like how we were talking about earlier, how many more ways can you do stuff? How much time is there in a day? There's just so many damn fun things to move, you know, whether it's dance, whether it's kettlebells, whether it's grappling, whether it's whatever, strongman kind of lifting. There's just so many freaking things to do that it's just like there's not enough time in the day. And that's honestly some of the most fun stuff you can do.
Dude, there's not enough years in our lives. That's what I was saying. I was like, you know, I've heard so many people say, well, yeah, I know everything. I'm like, you know everything. You're never going to know everything in 10 billion lifetimes, man. That's the whole deal. You might be good at your craft, but, you know, how many people have you met that simple things? I can remember the first time, especially with stones. You know, I remember Bill Crawford, who's on here all the time, you know, and I think he's one of the best stone lifters in the world. And when we went to Iceland in 08, I can remember talking about it. And, you know, at first I just didn't – I couldn't wrap my arms around it at first. It was like the stones basically, you know, they're alive. All right, I understand that. Everything has vibration. I got it. But he says to me, and now I know, he says, the stones can communicate with you. And I was like, what? But I realize that now. And I'll tell you what, you know, what is it, innate intelligence? I don't know. I think it is a stone. You know, the difference of moving something maybe, 45 to the right, 30 to the left, suddenly the stone comes flying up off the ground. That's not coincidence. You know what I mean? And, you know, on and on and on. So, you know, nobody's got a hold on anything, and that's why I like there's so many people out doing so many of the same things, but yet they're different. I love the philosophy when guys and gals come on here, and I've done it or I've heard it from somebody else, and they tell me this, and it's like a whole 360 on me. You know, when we had Steve Cotter on the other day, I love Steve, man. He is awesome guy. I mean, just a gentleman all the way, and, you know, he doesn't have a lot of experience with lifting stones and strongman. And I said, let's do a show on kettlebell Mary's strongman. And we used three movements from strongman. And it was killer, man. I mean, I learned stuff just from different stretches with kettlebells with him that will definitely enhance the lifting. And he got a taste of, you know, and it's not that he hasn't been around it, but he got a taste of what it is, you know, to lift stones to, you know, we're talking farmer's walks, tires flips, you know, and how can we take that with a kettlebell and marry them together without killing each other, but get the best out of both. And the show, Jim, was phenomenal, you know, but I don't want to do it. Do you have all your stuff out, or did I interrupt you too much?
Oh no, dude, I'm just going along for the ride. Don't even trip.
Okay, all right. Well, here's the one of the first questions I love to ask. I'm a big I still like to read comic books. All right, The Incredible Hulk was my definitely my version of strongman. As a kid, I thought he was the coolest thing in the world, man. You know, how could a guy get gamma radiation and get pissed off and just turn into, like, you know, a 13-foot giant weighing megatons of just muscle? When you were a young kid, was there things like that? What got you into the physicality of strength, of the culture of it? Because, you know, my feeling is, and I can't wait to hear your answer on the second question, because I'm going to throw a double one at you. Is there a separate – I love to hear people say this. I train separate, or I do this separate. Is there a separation between you and what you do, or are you still one unit? And by that I mean, is this your life, or do you split your life off from your physicality?
Which one do I answer first?
Whatever you want.
This is my life. This is what I do. I absolutely love it. My passion is for movement and moving objects and exploring my own body and getting to understand my body more and more and more. And then what's even kind of more than that, I like helping other people do it. I like helping other people connect with their bodies and find the passion in moving things and finding things that they love to do and getting them to do it and do it well.
Yep.
You know, and so the whole mixed martial arts thing, I actually really haven't been doing that as of late. Probably I haven't competed in a while, but the past probably 2 years, I haven't trained it a whole lot. But that's the way I always look at stuff, and that's a huge part of my background. So that's the way I've always kind of geared everything towards. And to be honest, that's kind of what led me into fitness to begin with, was me being a mixed martial artist and then wanting to find a job that would coincide well with it. I figured I could train myself, I could train others and make a living doing it, but then mixed martial arts kind of took a back seat to coaching
and
training.
Well, I want to tell you something about this. You are our first MMA guest ever on the hit. Jim, you know something, just to let you know, you are our first MMA guest ever on the History of Motivation Muscle, so congratulations, man. You're here.
I am honored.
Well, that's cool. It's great. You know, here's another different genre besides of the other stuff that you've done prior and the new stuff you're doing now, and that's a great thing. Okay, so we know now that you're like everybody here pretty much, and you can't basically split the two off. When you were younger, anybody comic book or influences that got you fired up into this? The physical culture, that's what I'll call it.
To be honest, like from the very get-go, my parents. My dad and my mom are both bodybuilders, and my mom was actually like competing when she was pregnant with me. And so she was a beast, and so was my dad. And so I kind of always grew up in the gym. I was always in the daycare at the gym and stuff like that. And then they had me in every sport, in gymnastics and martial arts. Like, they had me in all that stuff growing up. So they always subjected me to or gave me an opportunity to perform and to go play around and stuff. And it just always stuck with me. And a big thing for me, I loved comic books also. It was fantastic. And I was always I liked the Avengers a lot growing up. So Captain America and Vision and Iron Man, all those guys, like, and it's so cool to see them make a resurgence now. Like, it just brings me back, you know?
Oh, but, yeah. I mean, definitely. Definitely.
I absolutely love it. But a huge thing for me also growing up was professional wrestling. I was just so into professional wrestling, and I actually did that before I did MMA. And so that just was a giant passion of mine. And I always wanted to be, you know, one of those, because they were like superheroes to me growing up. They weren't normal men, you know. Well, you know, different now as you grow up, but when you're a kid, like, God damn, those guys are just absolutely immortal. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and you realize now how damn hard you got to work to get there. I mean, and there's no guarantees, and it's like you talk about the most physical, ball-breaking stuff you could ever get into. And it's not even just the physicality, it's the mental end. I know we hear so many things now. There's so many things written and everything, but I'm just a big believer. You know, we want to get real mental, and you want to have that edge. You go in and you train, man, and you get in places where, you know, I remember I think it was Rocky Balboa. I remember he said more than one quote that I thought was unbelievable, but I remember him saying that it's good to kind of get in tight places where maybe you can't move out of so easy, and you learn how to get out of it. You know, you discipline yourself to know how to move, how to duck, how to get out of things that most people would wilt if they ever got in it, or they wouldn't, they'd perish from it. And I always believe that the same way. I believe, I call where I go, it's like my laboratory. There's really no rules in there other than, you know, you don't dump bars off, you don't dump plates off bars. You treat everything with respect. You treat the people in the room with you, if there's anybody, and you support one another. Now, do you want it to become real feisty and aggressive? Absolutely. I can't train any other way. I have to have it that way. But here's the thing. I've learned over the years, when it's done, you shut it off. Now, is it always running? I always equate it to like the Hulk with Gamma. It's like it's always circulating in me, always around in me. But you're not going to walk around 24/7 like that, because you can't. And I just think that when you get out there and you start learning and mastering yourself and mastering your mind, because, you know, like I told Jim last night, you know, I started really doing a lot. I started yesterday with the idea of event training for Iceland. And it's been brutal here like it has been all over the United States. I mean, it's hot, it's humid, it's been going on for weeks. We had a storm last night at 3 o'clock in the morning. It woke me out of a sound sleep. The thunder and lightning was so loud. I mean, it sounded like it was right on top of my house, literally. And the rain came down harder than I ever remember. I mean, my garden right now is just flooded, and that thing's up very high. It's just things that you can't control. The moisture's got to go somewhere. But I was telling Jim, you know, I go out there, do my warm-ups. Obviously, I didn't load, you know, 150 pounds isn't a big load. But when you're going 95 feet and you haven't done it in quite a while, and I want to get at least 5 to 7 rounds out of it at a pretty good pitch, it's a lot. And when that kind of heat is zapping everything you got out of you, and then we add the rain. The minute I pull that damn stone out of the garage, the rain starts, all right? Now, it's a steel stone, and everybody knows, because a lot of the guys and gals are stone lifters here, and they lift those type of stones. Steel gets extremely slippery when you're sweating, you can't stop sweating. But now add rain to it. Tacky doesn't adhere. All the chalk is just turning into mud, if it'll even go on your skin. So you carry. And like I told him, the last few rounds, I'd get to a certain point down the driveway, I'd have to put the stone down. Why? It was slipping through my arms. And I mean, you know, I'm not a small guy at all. My forearms are pretty developed. But here's the deal. When you're sweating and it's raining, it doesn't matter how damn strong you are. And here's the thing I've learned. Don't be a hero, because, see, I still want my feet. If that stone ever dropped on my foot, it would shatter my foot forever, man. So you do the smart thing. And you know what the good thing was? Hey, I got to pick it up a few more times, clean it, and go like a madman. And every time I had to re-pick that stone up and readjust, I made it back, no matter what the distance was every time. Why? Because before I lifted that stone up, I was like, you son of a bitch, you're going back. And it was like the minute I grab it, it was like ignition. I'd be right back. Now, and I'll tell you this too. It was raining so hard at points. And I got a bandana on. Between the sweat and the rain, I got news for you. I couldn't even see in front of me. And then what am I going to do, wipe my eyes when I'm trying to carry a 150-pound stone that feels like it's at least double? So what I'm saying to you is this. The laboratory, all this mental stuff, and there's a lot of good things to read out there. I'm not ripping on any of it. But I'm telling you right now, you want to become like a mental madman. You want to have that real jagged-edged thought. Get out there and start learning yourself. Take a few decades to get to know yourself, and then you'll see. Jim, it's all yours, brother. Comment anything you want. Agree, disagree, doesn't matter.
And I couldn't agree more. And there's just, and like we said, there's so many ways to move and so many ways to do it. There's so many ways that you can learn mastery of your body. And that's what it really is getting in touch with your body, to get in touch with your mind, to get in touch with your spirit when you want to go to that level of it. Because when you can improve yourself on that cellular level, you can help improve the world around you. And that's what it's, you know, really all about, whether you're carrying stones, whether you're swinging clubs or maces or whatever it is you want to do. There's just so many ways to challenge yourself. And when your back is against the wall and you're in a position where, hey, I might not make it, to be able to push through to the point where you know for a fact you can't go any further, and you humbly let it go. That there's just so much to gain there. It's so incredible. Like, even like when I grapple and I roll, I like to get myself into submissions. I like people to choke me because I want to see how long I can last and if I can fight it off. You know, there's a lot of times I should have tapped quicker because it'll kind of fuck my neck, something like that. But you got to know, you know, like you have to know. You have to know what can you endure, how far can you go, how in touch with your body are you? And it's just so much more satisfying living life knowing that you've challenged yourself and challenged yourself in very advantageous ways. You know, putting on enough stress that you can handle it, because your body wants stress. It needs stress, but it needs to have a controlled amount. And to be able to start truly being able to read your body and feel your body, hey, how much of this stress can I take? And to safely test it, your body fucking loves that. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm very interested, too. Obviously, the MMA stuff, I've never really talked to anybody on air about MMA, and I know you said that you had wrestled too prior to that. What was it with the MMA? Why MMA? Who got you fired up into it? I take it you probably obviously watch it. You probably went to see it live, whatever. What brought that all on?
Professional wrestling, actually. Like they started teaching us submission holds and stuff, like stuff like that, just in case something goes wrong. You want to be able to handle whatever's coming at you, because we travel across the country to do it. We went to Tennessee, went to North Carolina. You go to all these places from California. You don't know who you're going to go against. You don't know these guys. They could be all drugged out of their mind. You don't know.
Sure.
So they taught us all this kind of self-defense stuff. And then once they started teaching us that, I started falling for that as a passion. I was like, oh, this is way more fun. Oh, I really like this. So it just kind of naturally occurred.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, obviously you said you haven't done much in, you know, recently, but I mean, when you're in MMA, all right, obviously you're doing all the skilled stuff. But what are you doing as far as physicality goes? I mean, I'm talking, are you weight training? Are you body weight? Are you, obviously I know you're a kettlebell guy. What encompasses, and I'm sure everybody's got their own style, but what were you doing and what do you do that you feel really enhances, you know, your strength, power, and endurance?
Oh, there's so many things. Like, honestly, a lot of the unconventional style training, whether it's balls, whether it's kettlebells, whether it's clubs, and the way you program it, like, there's so many benefits that each one of those has. Especially to help counter the effects that fighting puts on you. In fighting, you're anteriorly rolled. You know, the shoulders are rolled forward. The shoulders can be up a little bit. So to be able to train your body and strengthen your body in ways that helps counter that, because you're gonna have a lot of rotation, a lot of flexion in the hips, strengthening those movements, and also strengthening the functional opposites of those to help keep your body balanced. But a really, really big thing that helps out a shit ton is being able to do like flowing kind of body weight movements.
Okay.
Almost like you're mimicking fights and you're mimicking the stuff you're doing on the ground, but in ways that helps open up your body and strengthens your connective tissues and those weird like odd angle engagement and rotational ways that a lot of the stuff we do standing with tools doesn't really seem to address.
Really? That's interesting.
So like I throw up a lot of things on my in my internal roots movement pages and stuff like that, where it's like walking pigeons and stuff like that, tumbling around on the ground and getting into movements through tumbles and out of them, and being able to not only develop awareness of what your body is doing when you're doing that, but also to be able to condition your tissues to be able to safely do it and to control those movements. And it's kind of almost putting your body in precarious positions that you would get put into anyways, but you're doing it under your own will. And so it plays over greatly and has huge benefit. Like, because I haven't been rolling or doing anything in a while. I finally went to a jiu-jitsu class last week, and other than my gas tank, I felt great. It felt wonderful. Yep. Like, my movement's still on point because you're aware of what your body is doing and when. So just staying connected – staying connected with your body and taking it through its natural movements just pays off in dividends. It's amazing.
Yeah, that is. I mean, geez, man. You know, you never think about. I never really think about it. You know, I'm always thinking like using clubs and maces and things like that. But you know, the body, you know, learning how to get that fluid motion in your body, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of sense. Because we're all looking for the edge to be stronger, be able to take more impact, you know, and when it happens, obviously, you know, what's going to occur out of it when, you know, somebody's like taking you and bent you like a pretzel and you're in a hold and it's like, am I going to be able to get out of this thing or am I going to have to submit? And you and I both know no guy wants to submit. It's just you don't want to. But sometimes, I mean, that could be, you know, basically your life or death right there. But I think that's really interesting. As far as when you're getting ready for a meet and all that, you know, I mean, I'm going to ask you this anyways because, you know, I know just from stones and heavy weights and all that, what kind of diet? I mean, are you vegetarian? Are you grass fed? Are you, you know, et cetera, et cetera? What are you usually using as a staple when you're training? So, I mean, we know the amount of time and the calories you're burning and everything. So what are you fueling yourself with usually?
It's changed a lot throughout the years. I went through a vegetarian phase for almost a year, you know, and, yep, and tried that out for a while, did juicing and stuff like that. But,
yep,
now currently, like, the most, modern rendition of it is kind of a lot of fats, lots of good fats.
Absolutely.
Yep. Decent amount of protein and, yep, not a whole lot of carbs. I do a couple of smoothies every day. I like to do a smoothie in the morning, or I'll do like either kind of a bulletproof coffee or a bulletproof tea kind of thing to get things started with all the, you know, liquid fats. And,
yep,
I'll shit ton of eggs and vegetables. I love,
dude,
eggs and vegetables.
I'm glad I brought this up because I don't usually talk about this a lot. I want to ask you this because I've been dying to ask a vegetarian at one time this. When you were a vegetarian, now, were you fighting MMA then?
Yeah, actually I was.
Okay. Tell me how you felt, and then I want to move right into the fats because I know a girl that ran that became a vegetarian that was pretty much just red meat, grass-fed, that style. She was good for maybe, I don't know, maybe almost a year, not quite, and then suddenly she started developing all types of bone problems in the feet, lack of energy. I remember when I saw her a few years later, she looked emaciated, literally, all right? Then I run into her about a year and a half later, and I said, man, you look good. I said, what are you doing? Said I dropped the vegetarian and I went back to meat. I started laughing, but I want to ask you that, Jim. Tell me, what's the difference between that and eating a high fat diet? Was there a difference first off?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have. I put on more size, you know, a little bit,
yep,
more size, and I feel a lot more full. Like,
yep,
not just like I feel more full in my stomach. You know, I actually not get as hungry. Because when you're,
yep,
when I was vegetarian, you had to eat all the time because it just burned out of you so quick. And,
yep,
you know, if that's your thing, that's your thing. It's all well and good. But it was hard to keep on weights, which made it easy to cut, you know, and I had energy, but I had to eat a lot. And so, it was great. But I had to say I missed eggs. I missed meat,
yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
like that. So,
yeah,
now that,
yeah,
I've incorporated back into my life, I definitely am much more – I enjoy it much more, even though I do consume a lot of vegetables and kimchi and sauerkraut,
yep,
and probiotic kind,
yep,
of vegetables. You know, they're great, but,
yep,
it, I just couldn't personally maintain – not having the, like, animal fats and coconut oil. I mean, I wasn't doing coconut oil at the time. I was a vegetarian,
yep,
which would have been a great thing to add to it. That's something,
yep,
I ended up finding later. But I feel a lot better feeling a little more complete, you know? It's hard to get the good fats while you're just eating plant-based stuff.
No. What about strength-wise?
Strength-wise? I definitely feel better now.
You got it. There's no way. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I eat very little carbs. I try not. I do at some points, but very little. Mine is basically revolves around grass-fed beef. I don't mind eating chicken and stuff like that, but I got this weird thing. I'll never eat chicken when I lift. It's a lifting day. I always feel like it makes me weak. Don't ask me how I got that in my head. I have no idea, but I don't go near it. I eat avocados. I do scrambled eggs, Viking butter. It's a butter from Norway I get at a co-op here, an avocado, and then I throw a little bit of Melinda's hot sauce on it. Killer. Oh,
sounds
dude.
So good.
Dude, killer. I'm talking. And you know what? Being Italian, I go to this little import store, and they get it right from Italy. I love pancetta. There's nothing like Italian bacon. Let me tell you. It's a little round thing. And they'll cut it any size you want, and you throw that in first, and you just, you know, wipe some of the juices out of the pan, throw your eggs in there with your avocado and your butter and your Melindas, and man, oh, man, I'm telling you, look out. I like to do a lot of hard boils, obviously, have them around, and, you know, especially when I got shows, it's a good quick snack in between. I'm not so much nuts anymore. I used to like to eat a lot of them, but you know something? I got to be very careful with them, especially speaking all the time now. You know, I can, you know, if you don't get it right down, it's not good, you know, and you're coughing or whatever. I don't do a lot. If I'm going to eat any, I usually eat walnuts. That's pretty much what I stay with now. I do drink milk. The only milk I'll drink, though, is raw. There's a farm maybe 40 minutes from my house. You ought to see the animals. They're all on premises there. I mean, you want to talk about the way a cow should look? I mean, I'm serious. They make their own yogurt if you want that stuff. I don't dabble too much in yogurt at times. But, you know, I got a pretty boring diet, I guess, for most people because I'm not out slugging pizzas down every night and this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, something that works for me. And, I'll tell you right now with what I'm going into especially – I need very high calorie based foods right now because I learned one thing, and I've told people this on the other show when we were talking on other shows. I find now I drink a lot of heavy cream. There's an organic place that sells it. It's quite costly. I like to take milk and egg protein. I get one from a place. I think it's the best one around. It's called Mitt's Protein. It is delicious. I'll take that and mix that in with heavy cream and eat it like pudding. It's absolutely out of this world. But I do a lot of things like that. I consume heavy cream even when I lift weights or run with stones. Obviously, you know, with my water too. I have a water machine here where I'll heat the water to a certain degree. You know, it's distilled at that point. It's awesome, man. You know, and usually I always dump in some form of minerals or like Pedialyte, especially in this weather. But to make a long story short, I think the fat diet's the way to go. I mean, you know, you can have your cheat week, your cheat day, whatever you want to do. You want a few carbs, maybe some blueberries or some – and at this time of year, I love cantaloupe. That's the only thing right now that I would eat at this point, you know, if I'm going to have anything that's sweet or fruit like that. But I agree with you. I think fats are just so damn essential. Coconut oil, too, all that. But I'll tell you what I'd rather do, Jim, Thursday night I got to lift again. I've got to do heavy pulls with the stones. All day up to about 3 hours before I lift, I eat fat all day. All day. You know, it could be an avocado how many times. It's eggs. I'll sit and have lunch. I'll sit there with that organic, well, the grass-fed butter from Norway I get. I'll sit there with a knife and just keep eating pieces off it. Slice it right off and eat just things like that. And I'm telling you, it's no coincidence. When you go out to train, man, I am always strong as hell when I've eaten a lot of fat the day I'm going to train. So I don't know. I'm glad you told me that because I think that's very interesting because, you know, Scott Shetler is a vegan, and he seems to do very well off that. No meat. But I'll tell you, I couldn't go. I hadn't had one in a long time. It was a grass-fed that, you know, they call it a cowboy steak. Man, oh, man, dude. It was so friggin' good. You know, throw it on that Weber grill. Holy cow, man. Pull that off. I must have cooked a bag of broccoli practically with it. And I put loads of butter on it and ate like a king, man. All the stuff they tell you. Oh, you're going to die from heart disease. Okay. All right. You know, I'm a big coconut milk drinker, too.
Nice.
I love drinking it. Yeah, I love it. I love it. You want to add anything to it? Go ahead, man. If not, we'll go into the next question.
Now that we have a chance to talk about it, if I think about what I know now, and if I could have applied it to when I was a vegetarian then, I know it would have felt better. If I would have added more like almond butter and coconut oil and avocados to my diet then, I think I would have been a lot better off. But I wasn't eating that stuff then. So I think I could have rounded it out better, but at the same time, I don't think I'd be feeling as good as I feel now.
No, no way. And you know what? It's like everything. You wish you knew now, you know, back then what you know now. You know, I say the same thing. You know, I'm a big guy that believes in carrying things, obviously, you know, whether it's a sandbag, stones, anything like that. I wish I knew how to do this when I was 12 years old, man.
Right.
Because I know I would have been a better athlete, a faster athlete. But you know what? So what? It's never too late, and now you get to pass this on to younger kids that they want to get the edge with some football. I'll tell you what, you start carrying heavy shit out in front of you for time, you're going to be a beast, man, a beast. And it's like, I think that is one of the greatest things you could do. But I'll tell you what, something I'm real interested in is this internal roots movement you do. Now, why don't you give us some the history of it a little bit, how you got into it, maybe was it an influence, something you saw? What got you into this? Because I find this very interesting. So start wherever you want to start, and we'll just gradually keep feeding it.
Oh, well, like I said, like I did a lot of stuff growing up, and I did wrestling and martial arts and stuff like that. So I've always had that kind of perspective. But when we had Wolf Fitness Systems, we had a really, really cool thing going on where we would bring in tons of certifications and tons of different coaches and learn from them and learn their systems and learn their philosophies and their points of views and why they do what they do. And getting to have so many people come through and then having so many clients on a regular basis that we got to apply it to. And the clients were such a wide variety of people. Anybody you could think of, they were in our studio. You know, like we have a 65-year-old woman working next to a 25-year-old athlete. Like
awesome.
It was, and we'd always make things work for everybody. It was always adjusted to how they needed to do it. So being able to have, like you said, a laboratory, being able to have access to a laboratory and so many wonderful scientists to learn from, this is just kind of the culmination of all that, all the decade of learning from so many different people and so many different methods and being in contact and training so many people and coaching so many people and in different varieties too. I was at the same time of owning Wolf or co-owning Wolf and being there. I was also teaching at two martial arts studios. One was a jiu-jitsu studio, and one was a kickboxing studio. So I was in three different places all week long. So you just get to see so many different types of trainings and movement and people and everything that it all just kind of comes together. And we use so many different tools. Like I guess it was almost inevitable. And plus, I never really get married to one thing. I saw the value in all of them, because movement's movement, regardless of what tool you're holding. So getting people to understand how they're moving and what they're moving and why they're moving, it just gets you to be able to apply movement with no matter what you're holding.
Oh, this is the next question, because this is a great one. And I pretty much have my answer to it, but I want to see what you say. Why is it so damn hard for people to do multiple things? You know, you're talking about, let's not get used to one thing. I pretty much know what I would say, but what is it? Is it fear? Is it the idea that maybe I'm not going to be good at it right away, or maybe never good at it? You've been around enough people, you've had enough students. What do you see? What have you seen through the years that, you know, when you come up to somebody and say, you know, blah, 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 I got a great, I don't know. What do you think a lot of this, where does it stem from that I don't know?
Ego and fear. I think that's pretty much the underlying cause of it all. Because no matter what, even when we move, like, hey, okay, let's go ahead and do a squat, we're not going to do it the best way possible, most therapeutic way. We're just going to get it done. So because that, there's always something to improve and always something new to learn, it's hard for people to swallow, because most people want to believe how I'm doing it is good enough, even though deep inside they know that's not right. So it's just kind of, I think it's just that kind of branches over into everything else in our lives.
Like, we don't want to learn anything new, or we're creatures of habit because we're comfortable being where we're at. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to feel like we're a rookie again. We don't want to feel like we're less than how we think of ourselves, you know? And I think it's hard for people to become the student again, especially if you've taught for a long time, or if you don't have any kind of background in it whatsoever. It's the first time you step into a gym. It can just be intimidating because you've never done it before, you know? No. And you know for a fact that something needs to change, but you don't really want to do it.
But you know what the interesting thing is? Getting back to last night, I've lifted some pretty big stones, you know, and I plan on doing much more. You know, I want to hit Scotland, and I want to learn how to bass stone lift in Spain next year. I really want to do that. And I mean, when you see the size of those stones, we're talking 850 pounders and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, and how these guys do it, I mean, and these sand pits are in, and it's fathers and sons. It's the most interesting stuff I've ever seen. And I want to be part of it. I want to build, how am I going to put it? Not only the strongest, most enduring. Now, I might not be able to keep up with you in a lot of things because it's a different genre. But I'll be able to hold my own with what I've got to hold. And when you can do things like that in a fury and do them well and still be an athlete, because let me tell you, if you're not an athlete, you're not touching any of that stuff. That shit's done. It's not going to come up. It's not going to happen. It'll most likely kill you. But my point is, like last night, you know, when you're talking about, and it's true, intimidation, fear, all that. Well, let me tell you something. A guy that's been doing it, I've been doing stones now for 8 years. I learned last night about me. I could have got intimidated and scared with the rain and not wanted to do it and make 1,000 excuses. But what I learned last night was this, and I've learned this many times. So this goes far and beyond how long you've trained and what you want to do. It's like you're going to get tested no matter what you do, whether the weather's good, bad, or in between. Or anything for that matter. But what I learned about myself, especially last night, it was like, you know what? I took something that could have been the worst experience, and I made it a good experience, man. It's like, believe it or not, I enjoyed it. I'll tell you, for instance, this is kind of like my thinking, which I remember we were talking about this, and my buddies were like, you're effed in the head more than I've ever seen you. There's something wrong now. I'm like, there's nothing wrong. I took I think it was either a 50 or 75 pound sandbag one night, and it was pouring out. And of course, when you're flopping them on the ground and this and that, they start to leak a little bit on you. So I'm taking this thing and flipping it end over end for the hell of it. And every time it hits the ground, more shit comes out and it's covering the front of my chest. My shirt, it had an imprint on it of the business. The shirt from my face all the way down, I was getting the sand in my eyes and everything, was the color of sand. It was gray. You couldn't even see the imprint of the shirt. And, you know, I'll tell you something, Jim. The more I did it, the more fun I had with it. The more I did it, the dirtier I got. I'd get hit in the face every time with sand, water. I didn't care. And I guess as bizarre as that sounds, the teaching experience is this. And I know you can enjoy yourself probably in many other ways, but us people that like to get very physical and I guess as you were saying before, you know, testing yourself, you know, seeing if you can make yourself better, enjoying what you do, because you never know with this stuff. You know what it was? And it was like last night. I flat out enjoyed it. It was screaming hot. I was dropping the stone. I was getting soaked out there, just like the time with the mud and the sandbag. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed the living hell out of it, man. And I don't know. Maybe I'm twisted out. I have no idea. But I guess you got to find your thrills, too, some ways. And that was a thrill. What do you think, man?
No, for sure. And you don't know until you try. And that's just it. Like, there's a lot of things that people don't know that they like because they haven't subjected themselves to it. You know, if you give it a fair shot and you struggle with it a few times and you legitimately don't like it, all right, try something else. But at least struggle a few times. Give your body a chance to see if you like it or not. See if you like how it feels or the fact that finally once you do overcome it, the joy you feel in getting something done.
Yeah, absolutely. With the internal roots, the movements and all that, well, I mean – you've got older people, I'm sure you got middle age and younger. What do you, I mean, it takes a while, obviously, especially if you haven't done a lot of training, let's put it that way. And a lot of guys we know, I know guys, friends of mine, you know, they're near 40 now, and they've been sitting on the couch for the last, 15. and they're in bad shape, man. They're not in good shape, you know. They still like to go out and power drink and all that bullshit, you know, and whatever. But then they'll come and say, well, what do I do? How do I get in shape? You know, or you'll run into somebody you haven't seen in 10 years, and here's what they'll say. You still lifting weights? I'm like, no. No, this is a mirage you're looking at pretty much. You know, and yeah, of course I am. It's what I do. It's my life, you know. And they're like shaking their head still because most of them, you know, after they got out of college, you know, I understand you get married, whatever. I guess you change your focus. But most of them, you know, figured after that, you know, why bother doing it anymore? Well, it's a lifestyle. It's what I live now. I love it. It's me. I always call it, it's like my third arm. It's like I no more take my third arm off than one, two before, you know. And once you understand it and realize how valuable it is, because training has dug me out of more holes in the last 3 years than anything. Now, my mother and father, exceptional people, and I don't know if you know, I bring it up on occasion. My brother Jimmy was born with muscular dystrophy, all right? So I learned from an early age a little bit different how life was. You know, right. Nothing was wrong with Jimmy mentally in a wheelchair. My parents never would give him up. You know, we took him everywhere. He was matriculated in school. I'm telling you right now, Jim, if you didn't see him in a wheelchair, you never known anything was wrong with him. Seriously, never complain, nothing, all right? And he died very young, you know, as a young teenager. But if it wasn't for my parents' exceptional care, he probably would have died 3 or 4 years prior to that, right? So my point of the matter is this. Besides realizing early on that, hey, you know, you got to take care. You know, we talk about the superheroes and the strength and how I latched on to the Hulk like that. You know, you're in an environment where you see a lot of things, man, and you see your brother. You know that longevity is not, you know, for him. We know that. You know, I knew that at a young age, but there was a deep love in the family, and, you know, my mother and father. My father was a lot more athletic than my mother. She skied mostly, but still. And the thing I think that we drew out of all that was not only this mental and physical strength, but, Jimmy, there's no way I can't think of him every day, all right? And Jimmy, to me, is like the mascot of this whole business with me. He is the guy. He's the one I look to all the time with everything. And I think when you have something that pronounced at a young age, I've tried to talk to my brothers and sisters about this. Sometimes they can, other times they don't want nothing to do with it, all right? I don't care. I'll talk about it anytime. It doesn't bother me because I think it's very – I think a lot of my fabric is from that. I'll put it to you that way. I think that's why I'll go out there and try to heft anything I can or, you know, beat myself senseless, you know, to the point where you should have stopped a half an hour ago, things of that, because I want to excel and I want to be the best I can be. And not only that, I do feel it's an honor to do that. I do it because of my love for my brother, and I just feel that I just want to keep that always going, always. And I think that, you know, when we see people come in, and I don't have – sometimes I don't have the maybe the patience because, you know, when somebody comes to me and they're, like, whining about something, I'm like, holy shit, you know, it's like – I understand, you know, it's not me training in here. You got to kind of come down a few levels and you want to be gracious and all that. But man, oh man, you know how many times I wanted to shake somebody and say, get the fuck off your ass, man. Let's go. All right. But I don't, you know, I don't get into it. And personal stuff is personal stuff. Obviously, it's been on the air. People know this. But, you know, I've seen what that type of suffering is and what it is. And, you know, sometimes I'm crying in my soup too. And I'm like, whoops, we ain't doing that today. That's all done. What is your feeling on that? Like life's things, whether it's young age, middle age, whatever, sometimes we get whacked right across the face really hard. You know, you get it on the chin, you're either going to get up or you aren't. What's your feeling with like life's adventures life struggles coming at you, and you know where you are today, where you see yourself in a few years. I know that's a lot of stuff, but it's important, man. I ask people this a lot. Where do you want to be? Where do you think you want to even be 6 months from now? What's important to you? Who's important to you? You're getting me very fired up. Hit it. Go ahead.
Well, let's see. Where do we start with all that?
Well, anywhere you want to start, man.
You're
not going to insult me at all, believe me.
From what I can pick up from everything, the awesome rant you just had was I know that any kind of movement is going to help. So no matter how depressed you get, no matter how far back you are, no matter how long you've been at a game, no matter what you're feeling, as long as you start doing something, it's going to help. And that something can lead to more, and that something can lead to more. So whether it's a personal thing for me or whether it's a client or a friend that I know, just getting something started can get much more started.
Yep.
And so finding a way for them to move, even if it's just doing a mobility routine, just getting them to move their joints throughout complete ranges of motion from head to toe or toe to head once a day. It's like, hey, just move, because I know for a fact you're going to think and feel better afterwards. And I think it's much better to take on life with that perspective and with that foundation than it is with the foundation of, oh, I haven't done shit in a while. I'm a piece of shit. I can't keep going. What am I doing? Blah, blah, blah. All the self-doubt comes in. You got to give yourself little victories. You got to give yourself little chances and people chances to be able to show they can do something.
Yeah.
And so either that's just, hey, man, go walk around the block and hit like 10 lunges on the way, or go carry a bag around the block full of something.
Yeah.
To, you know, load up a backpack and walk around the block. Do something, because that is inevitably going to lead to more. You're going to feel better afterwards, which will give you a better perspective. And I know that's for me personally, like even for how long I've been doing this, I'll find myself down and bummed out, especially when we moved and the business closed down and all this, that, and the other. I didn't know who I was for a minute. I felt like I was like I hadn't done anything. But the minute I started moving again and engaging it and remembering why I love what I do, everything changed.
Yep.
The whole world got so much brighter. And so I think that's just – it's huge just to at least find one thing that you can start doing, no matter what it is, just be able to start doing it. And that can lead to so much more.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that if you're lucky enough to be able to do this stuff, and you're lucky enough to move your body, and you're lucky enough to hook up with somebody that really knows what they're doing, that really takes a vested interest in you, you know, they're not just going after your money, you know, because there's too many people out there like that. The role, I think, of a trainer is can be very well, it's obviously something that can touch somebody for the rest of their life. There's no doubt about it. And I say here on the show, I feel myself, and I've had others on here, guests, I feel obligated to do this. I need to give back because I've been so fortunate. And I think when you think like that and you can do that, you're really ahead of the curve. And, you know, I hope people latch on to this and understand that you can be better than the sum of your parts.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It might take, you know, and I'll give this right back to you, Jim, because we're coming up on time, I know. A deep belief, a self-confidence, and really you need some aggressiveness is going to take you multiple places. And when you're disciplined like that and you can do that, I just see great things in your future. Jim, summarize anything you want. Give out your information as far as how people can contact you. I'll give mine, and if you'd hang on the line a moment, please, I'd appreciate it.
All right, for sure, man. But, just shit, any chance that anybody has to move, just do it, whatever it is. And if you've been doing movement and you're starting to get bored with it, try something else. Try something new. Go out there and venture, you know, like you know for a fact because of your brother, you know, what you've experienced, that having an able body is a fucking miracle. It's an outright miracle. And the fact that so many of us are letting it go to waste is a goddamn shame. You know,
it really is.
We have these able bodies. Let's go use them. Let's go see what they're capable of. Because what you're doing now and what I'm doing now, what we're all doing now, it's a fraction of what we're able to do. Because with a little bit of focus, a little bit of intent, a little bit of care and consistency, we can do things we never imagined. So that just needs to happen. We need to express. We need to try. We need to explore. We need to take risks. We need to not be afraid to fail, because truly failure is only when you get knocked down, you don't get back up.
and when you don't learn. So go out there, fucking fall, go flat on your face, laugh about it, wipe the mud off, and do it again. That's half the fun, you know. So just get out there. I mean, that's just a huge part of doing it, of the message, is just try and allow yourself to try and appreciate the little victories and appreciate the battles that you're fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, give out, you know, any way they can get a hold of you. You know, I'm sure hopefully we'll send some people your way, and that'd be a good thing.
Right on. Appreciate it. Yeah, just Jim Romig, R-O-M-I-G, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then on Facebook, I also have my internal Roots Movement page. So that's pretty much the main ways to get to me right now.
Okay, cool. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Also, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. It's all there. We talked about it here. We talked about it at Jim's facility. You know, things aren't hard to do. It's just like, how hard are you going to make them? And that's, and, you know, be willing, as I say, there's no 90-day fixes here like you see on TV. All right, there, it's just not there. You got to put in the time, discipline, and learn yourself. So think about that. Also, motivationmuscle.com, same thing I said. Go out and check out all the content out there. I'm telling you, you'll be amazed. If there's a show you'd like Jim and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. Also, too, you know that we're streaming now. We're out on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha. Also, too, and I'm very proud of that. This, you're going to see this company is growing now like crazy with just the streaming. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for spreading the word. Also, too, I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give somebody some inspiration. I've said it before, 5 words can change your life. Believe me when I say that, words can help or kill. Use the words to help. That's what's really important. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, and she still says it, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get. Take a peek and be an observer like I am. Look at all the people with their head down and look in their eyes. They look beaten. Beaten. No way to live. You don't live. You're not defeated. Don't let people tell you what you are or aren't. Decide for yourself. Also, too, if you're going to lift, bend it, break it, push it, squat it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, as I always say, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We follow no one's path. We clear cut our own. And as on everything I write now, it says dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do. Obliterate every goal and have new ones. And the dent is when you have an off night. You know, burn that right into the core of your brain, that 6 inches between your ears. And say you're going to get it next time and defeat it. It's very important. I live by those 3 words. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to us from the beginning, who's been a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was one of the greatest things anybody ever said here. I'm telling you, Jim, you love it. And it's like we will say that for the next 30 years, man. Jim, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on, sir. And we're going to get you on quick again if you'd so like to.
I'd love to, man. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and it's been a lot of fun, man. That hour went like speed demon. Before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends, because I'm telling you, we're coming for you anyways. Like I said, the Roman Legion, the Italian tanks here have all started. We're coming. We're coming across the world for everybody, and we're so glad, you know, Jim's joined the family now. You know, I guess it's the Italian roots, man, with me. But thanks, everybody, for listening. So for Jim Romig, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks. We'll have Jim on again soon. But have a great week and do something really special out there. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.